Good morning. It's time to start worship service off here at the Poplar Warner Church of Christ. So, as always, it's always good to hear the fellowship, and I hate cutting it off, but I guess it is time. If you are a guest, we'd like to have a record of your attendance. If you fill out the card in the pew in front of you, and you can put it in a foyer in a box or hand it to one of our members, we'd be honored to have a record of your attendance and welcome you back. In the foyer, we have a loaf of bread for you as well as our guest. So please fill out that visitor's card if you're a guest here. And we will, our first song will be hymn number 162, hymn number 162. And now I've forgotten which verse, 1, 2, and 4, if you're using the songbook. So verses 1, 2, and 4 up on the screen as well. And then we'll have our opening prayer, 162.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. He chose me.
Let's take a moment, get our minds and our thoughts right with God. Bow, please. Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you with love in our heart for each other and mostly for you, Lord. We come thanking you for all the blessings that you have given us on this earth. We come praying that the world will finally wake up to the fact that you're the main reason that this earth is here, that we are here. And we thank you for that. Again, Lord, we love you so much for sending your Son to this earth. We thank you for that sacrifice. It must have hurt your heart to do that for us. We pray for those of our number that are not with us today for any reason. We pray that they'll be able to come and join us in worshiping you. Dear God, your world is in a turmoil at this time. We pray that the leaders will have the intelligence to come back to you. We thank you. We thank you so much for Jesus and his teachings. For with those teachings, we know what we must do when we are at our end to be with you. We thank you for the voices that you give us to sing praises to you, to let you know, Lord, in song, how we feel about you. Dear God, we pray for all things, all people on this earth. And again, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you. It's in your Son's name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Our next song will be hymn number 10, if you're using the songbook, hymn number 10. We'll sing all three verses. Led this a couple times, but not a lot, so it has some unique pauses in it, so kind of be aware. But it's a beautiful song with a great meaning. If it's convenient, let's stand for this song, hymn number 10.
The mighty fortress is our God.
Please be seated. In my defense, there's only three verses here. I'm relying on the book too much. We shifted gears and pulled off the glasses and got through that, though. So it's a beautiful song. There's four verses in the electronic version there. So a little sorry about that. And the next song will be hymn number 943, 943. I said all three verses. I'm hoping there's three verses. All right, so I'll look up a little more, but then I have to toggle these a bit. But
beautiful song.
It's a good meaning. I sure don't want to steal from that. 943 if you're using the book like I am.
Have you a heart that's weary, ending a load of care? Or are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know the Lord of Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard?
Next song will be hymn number 379. Let's do 379. This will be the song we use to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And in my book is two verses, and we'll sing both verses. So if we adjust, we adjust. All right. So 379, then we'll have our Lord's Supper.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Calvary. There he laid his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean. The ocean is gone.
Does everybody here have their emblems to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning? If not, raise your hand and we'll get it to you. I think we're good. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that tell us to do this in remembrance of Him. But I look at it this morning as a blessing. You know, I sang a song, Count Your Many Blessings. You can take a sheet of paper and you can start writing today and you're never going to finish. That's how many blessings God has given us. But the ultimate blessing was Jesus Christ, our Savior. He died on that cross for the remission of the sins of the world. Not just me, not just you, but for the whole world. And we're commanded to do this in remembrance of Him, to celebrate His life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you would, pray with me. Our most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You for this bread, which to a Christian represents the body that hung on the cross for the remission of our sin. We pray, dear Father, that as we partake of this, we do so in a manner pleasing and acceptable to Thee. In Christ's holy name, amen. We continue in prayer. We thank You, Father, for this fruit of the vine, which to a Christian represents the blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. We pray, Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, that we do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to Thee. In Christ's holy name, amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we also take the opportunity to give of our means so that the work of this church can flourish and help those that are in need. Let us pray. Our most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the wonderful blessings, Father. We thank You for everything. If it wasn't for You, we wouldn't have anything. At this time, we have an opportunity, Father, to give back a portion of that which You have blessed us with. We pray to Heavenly Father that we will give with a cheerful heart, and that it is pleasing and acceptable to Thee. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Next song will be hymn numbers 373. 373, we'll sing all three verses.
There are things as we travel this earth shifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hands. I believe in the good call of Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and we're
The song before the lesson this morning will be hymn number 959, number 959. We will sing all three verses. It says basically, it's a bass carious, okay? So I know you can do it. You got a lot of good basses here. So 59 will be our song before the scripture reading and sermon this morning.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then the light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just the thought of Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have the talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Fine job, bass. Fine job. The invitation song following the lesson this morning will be hymn number 903, 903.
The scripture reading today will be from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. And this will be from the English Standard Version. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him."
Sorry, Steve. I do that. I'm getting forgetful. See, what I don't want to do is turn that mic on too early and y'all hear me sing. So I try to wait till the very end. I know what I sound like. I can hear. But I sure do enjoy singing. So I wait till the last second and then I forget to turn the mic on. But anyway, boy, is it good to see y'all this morning. Sun is shining, and we got some moisture in the ground, and it's a blessing, and we're certainly thankful for it. And, boy, it looks like a beautiful week this week. If you've got some outside work to do, get her done, because this is going to be a beautiful weather week. Want to have a thank you card here I'm going to read. Not without these. A big thank you to everyone who helped with the pancake supper. The food was delicious and the service was wonderful. We enjoyed it very much. Love, David and Audrey. And I want you to know that I had several come up to me this morning and wanted to express it verbally, a thank you to the kids and a thank you to the adults that helped the kids. But I want to say thank you so much for the pancake supper last night to honor our older folks in the congregation. And it was a wonderful time. We really enjoyed it. And you know, kids, you did a fantastic job. We're proud of you. You did a great job and was a huge help. And it was a great success. And we're sorry for those. There were several that didn't get to be there for various reasons. Of these, we're going to say seniors, 60 and over crowd. And, boy, you missed out. Ron and Gay, you missed out. It was good eating, but I ate your share. Don't worry. I was asked if there were some adults cooking sausage and pancakes, and I was asked about the when to eat. And I said, "Well, listen, I always thought the cooks had to have QC of the utmost importance, quality control. So I just kind of eat as I go along. So I didn't wait till the very end to eat. I'd already ate by the time most of y'all got to eat because we were cooking. So you got to make sure it's right. We don't want to give you bad goods. But it was a great time. And I want to apologize to moms and dads. The last time we did this pancake supper, obviously things were different because we were ready so early. We were just way early. So next time we do this, whether it's next year or this fall, we won't be there that early because obviously we've got some good help. And it just, I mean, y'all showed up and went to work and got it done, and it was ready to go way too early. We're going to remember that. We remember it. Trust me. She and I remember that and will not forget. Thank you so much for the wonderful help. What a blessing. What a blessing. Folks, everybody was wanting to help. Not just the kids. I mean, kids was running us over. What can I do? I mean, they're just coming up to Lisa. What do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? I don't know. I got some shovels. I guess we can dig some ditches or put in some fences or something. I mean, everything was done. It's unbelievable. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Really do. All I have is Randy and Susan Hood have an anniversary this week on the 5th of March. That's all I have are their birthdays that didn't get on there in the between the 5th or 6th of March, whatever the date is there, this week. All in, all done. Speak now, forever hold your peace. I'm not seeing it. All right, so we want to say happy anniversary to Randy and Susan Hood. They are not with us this morning. Wyatt was able to bring them a stomach bug, so they are very grateful for that. What a loving son. Wyatt, that one was for you at home, bud. You know, I appreciate Kurt this morning reminding us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus being a blessing. And that what a wonderful blessing it is. And our contribution, something was said there, and I just want to elaborate, not really elaborate, I just want to remind you there are some great things being done that are able to be done because of the contribution. And it's not just meeting needs of people, which is tremendous, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But meeting spiritual needs and to be able to do that financially with people is unbelievable. And so let's not lack in remembering that our giving is a blessing to others spiritually as well. It's not just bread and peanut butter and beans and soup and that kind of deal. We're talking about the spiritual well-being of people is a hand that can be helped And so we're really blessed here in this congregation through generosity and just keep up the good work, because good things are happening that you don't know about. And right hand's not knowing what the left hand is doing, and that's a good thing to do. If you would, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in a ton of scripture this morning if we can get to it all. I make no guarantees, but the good news is I'm up here earlier than usual. The bad news is I was going to run long anyway. So I don't know what that means for y'all this morning, except we're going to do the best we can do this morning. You know, it's come time we're in a study of one another's, and I've dodged this subject for a couple more weeks. It came up several weeks ago. I say several, a few weeks ago. I don't keep records, so I don't know exactly. But the idea of forgiveness. And Sunday night we had, 3 or 4 weeks ago, again, not sure of the time, we had a study Sunday night on forgiveness. We're coming back to it because we needed to on Sunday morning, and we're there where we need to talk about this idea of forgiveness and one another, and does it really pertain to us forgiving each other, and what is the Word of God? What does it say about forgiveness? So last Sunday night, or not last Sunday night, when this came up on a Sunday, the idea was given, and I want to confess to you that I had no idea this idea existed. So either I'm incredibly stupid, or I thought I got out and around, but maybe I don't. But this idea of you forgive only when one has asked you to forgive them. Now, I asked people to raise their hand if they had ever heard of that before, and I don't want to do it this morning because it shocked me how many people have heard that theory. And I was like, wow, I was almost the minority. And so we're going to take a look at forgiveness this morning, and if you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Luke 17, and we'll look there at our scripture reading first off this morning. And take it. This is an interesting subject, and it's one that we need to be correct on, brothers and sisters. And this is not something that this is not one that we need to lag behind on. And unfortunately, maybe we do sometimes lag behind in this subject on forgiveness. One of the reasons we don't like to look at forgiveness, it may cause us to have to act on it. Now, I don't know if anybody in here has trouble with forgiveness. I don't struggle with it personally. Yes, I do. I struggle with this subject greatly. I have struggled with forgiveness all my life. But I come by it honest. Grudge holding, I've got, I guess you could say, non-forgiving HD, high definition. So it's on steroids on both sides of the family from way back. And then not just both sides of the family, it's both sides of theirs. So the family tree is full of grudge holding and not forgiving people. So I do come by this honestly, and I don't mean necessarily my folks, that's not what I mean. I'm just everybody in the history of the Wards, Schultz, the Groves, so that's both sides of the family. I mean, man, you want to talk about can hold it against you? I can do it. How many of y'all's families are that way? Way back from 1800s on, you hear the stories. Well, granddaddy so-and-so, he was so mad at brother so-and-so for 50 years, didn't talk to him. What was it about? Well, he borrowed a bucket and didn't bring it back. He borrowed a bucket? Yeah, he borrowed a bucket and didn't bring it back. Well, do you reckon he forgot that he borrowed the bucket? Well, I don't know, but he didn't bring it back. And he's holding a grudge about a bucket. Not forgiving him. Didn't talk to you. I mean, it's stupid stories like that. Our family stories, and y'all's are the same, are riddled with not forgiving. So let's look at forgiveness this morning. Luke 17, 1 through 4. We're going to read this again because there's a couple things here that I want to make sure we grasp a hold of. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard." These are strange languages in four verses here. "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." And he, excuse me, I'm going to try this morning to get through. let's go back to verse 3. "Be on your guard. If a brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." So this is the basis used for this idea that if they don't come to you and say, "Please forgive me for what I've done to you," you don't forgive them. You're given a free ticket from God to not forgive them. This is the scripture quoted. Now, I will say that if we only had Luke 17, 3 and 4 in the Bible to go by, I might could agree with that you might have that. But fortunately, there's more to the story than just verses 3 and 4 in the entirety of the scripture. And I've never looked at this set of scriptures this way. But go back to verses 1 and 2. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for a millstone to be hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble." Brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you a question about this. You reckon Jesus Christ right here is saying, if you don't forgive, there's a good chance you're putting a stumbling block out there on somebody? I don't think by chance that 1 and 2 was talking about previous and 3 and 4 is talking about something different. I think these go together like peas and carrots. Like mashed potatoes and corn. Tell me I'm not the only one that mixes mashed potatoes and corn with white gravy. Oh, man, it's so good. But these go together like that. They go together. Jesus knew what he was talking about. And if you don't think he did, we need to visit. Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, if you don't forgive somebody, you're going to be a stumbling block to them. These go together. They are not separate. But those that want to quote this scripture do not quote verses 1 and 2. They quote verses 3 and 4 and say, well, this is our basis of not forgiving. I invite you to run like a track star from that mentality. That is false doctrine. Brothers and sisters, it's false teaching. And we're going to look at why it is this morning. Now, it is accurate. Go back to 3, Steve. It is accurate if your brother sins and you rebuke him, and if he repents, you forgive him. That is accurate information, brothers and sisters. It's not a lie. It's not. That is the truth. But it's not only that is accurate. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew 18. We looked at this, and I'm going to try and give a condensed version of Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And a condensed version is hard to do on this because it just is. So here we got a story of forgiveness. Verse 21, Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Of course, there were instructions beforehand about forgiveness, and it touched on a little bit of Luke's idea of that he offered there, Luke's account of what Jesus said. Sorry, I said that wrong. It wasn't Luke's idea. It was his account of what Jesus said. And Matthew's version is, there's some similarities there. But you go to your brother, and you go to him in private, and that's all beforehand. Well, now here, so all that was listed of what you should do. Here's the protocol, so to speak, of going to your brother when there's something wrong. I've seen several folks in my time, which is not very long, but that are really good at not doing that, and I may be one of them. But going to your brother in private, and then you go through that, and then if you break protocol, why do the wheels fall off? Jesus is speaking in the verses before to help keep the wheels on the vehicle. And what do we want to do? Walk around with a knife and slash all the tires. That's what we do. Well, okay, so now we got into verse 21. Peter says, "How many times do I need to forgive him?" And Jesus says, in verse 22, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." So this was not a mathematical equation, by the way. Oh, 70 times 7 is 490 times. So on 491, I can fry him. That's not what Jesus was saying. It wasn't a mathematical equation. What he was saying was, you just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. That's what Jesus was saying there to Peter. Now, let's get into the rest of the story here. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king, to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made." So here's the idea that, here's a man who owed 10,000 talents, didn't have it, so it's repo time. In our day, you know, this is a different deal because we don't necessarily have slaves and all this sort of thing, so we may not understand. It's time to repo the account. So we understand that when you don't make the payment on a car, they're going to come get it. They're going to sell it so the bank can recapture some of its loss. They're not going to just let you keep the car. "Oh, he doesn't pay. It's okay." I wish it was that way. By the way, they won't let you keep farm equipment that way either. They won't let you keep cattle that way. You got to pay, or they're going to come get it, and they're going to recoup some loss. So he's going to sell the slave. He's going to sell his wife. He's going to sell his children and all these things to help recoup some payment. Verse 26, "So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And then the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." Well, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if today, so they all these people that have payment forgiveness now, that's become a popular thing. That's not what that is. It's payment delayer. They're going to get that payment. It's just going to be at the end of it instead of right now this month. You know, a couple years ago that started coming around where they, well, if you have a tough time right now, you can skip 3 months. It's not skipping 3 months. Yeah, you're not paying these 3 months, but they're going to add to it to the end. That is not what's taking place here. And the Lord of this slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. The debt is wiped out. The debt doesn't exist. The debt is remembered no more. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Now you tell me where, let's go on, I'll come back to that. So then, okay, y'all know the story. So the slave goes on, he tries to collect from somebody that didn't know near the amount from a fellow slave. Hey, you owe me now, I need it now. He doesn't have it. He said the identical words. Let's see here. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." Have patience with me. Identical language to what the first slave, Lord with a little L, went to the master. Have patience with me, and I will repay you. Have patience with me. And I will repay you. But the first slave didn't feel that way towards the second slave. So the first slave said, "No, I need it now, da da da." And then word spread out and got back to the master. Well, he didn't like that so much. He said, wait a minute. I forgave you, and then you go out there and you put your thumb on the back of somebody else's neck. And they didn't owe you near what you owed me. But you did it. Brothers and sisters, I think there's a story in this that we've always missed. Your sin ain't near as bad as my sin. How do we always look at somebody? We always think somebody else's sin is worse than our sin, right? Look at those gossips. Look at those sinners. Look at them over there. They missed Sunday night. They missed Wednesday night. They didn't come to Bible class. You know what? I think I heard language that ain't appropriate. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they're sinners. Did you hear their thoughts? No, did you? It's a thought. How'd you hear it? That's what I want to know. Usually you know mine, because if I think it, it winds up running out of my mouth faster than I could put it back in there. I can tell you that. We have missed this. That the fact of, here's the point of the story. What did Paul regard himself as? The worst of offenders. This is what Jesus is saying here. Start looking at your sin as the worst of offenders. Start looking at yourself as an insurmountable debt instead of looking at somebody else as an insurmountable debt. My debt is worse than your debt. Charlie Ward's debt is worse than yours. Now, Kurt needs to have the mindset that his debt to God Almighty is worse than mine. If we start regarding that our debt to God is worse than our brothers and sisters, forgiveness is going to be a little bit easier to hand out. But that's not what we do. We're always thinking the other ones is worse than us. Their sins are far, far worse than ours because, after all, we've seen the chart, right? It's given to us in the Bible of the chart of which sins are worse. Have y'all not seen that graph? Graph chart, it's a pie chart too. It's in several forms. Y'all haven't seen that? Jesus laid it out. No! It's not there. It doesn't exist. Sin is sin to God. Whether you shoot somebody in cold-blooded murder or take his name in vain, it's sin. That's the facts. There's no pie chart for this. There's no levels and degrees. Oh, he had an affair on his wife. He's a double whammy. He's a bad dude. Beyond forgiveness. Beyond friendship. Oh, did you hear about her? What? She gossips when they're quilting. Shameful. What a terrible sinner she is. I'm going to refrain from telling you her name. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I know I have seen it when people have had affairs. They are ostracized beyond ostracizing. They are, for some reason, we have labeled that as the ultimatum. You can't go any worse. They've done it. And it's terrible. I'm not making light. It's awful. But that's not the one to end all sins. That is forgivable. And when the spouse can forgive, what in the world makes us think we can't? And I've seen it. I've seen it where the spouse forgave them and took them back, and the church couldn't. Wrong. Shame on us for being that way. All right. By the way, all that was free. It didn't cost you any extra. Have patience with me, O Lord. You know, how much patience do we have with anybody else when it comes to forgiveness? If they've done us wrong, we write it down in the black book of our heart and chisel it in stone to where it never leaves. Well, brothers and sisters, our debt is more than our brothers. And if we don't want to forgive, that's fine. That's up to you. Here's what health problems can come from. And this is physical health problems. And I ain't even talking about the spiritual health problems. We're talking about physical health problems between the stress and the anxiety and the loss of sleep and hypertension and all of these things that come from a lack of forgiveness of other people, you forgiving them. So you're bringing all these physical health problems onto you. What are the spiritual health problems that you are bringing onto yourself? Well, we looked at the Lord's Prayer that Jesus offered in Matthew 6. And for the sake of time, Steve, I'm gonna do some skipping around here, so just bear with me, brother. There's some good words there in Matthew 6, 1 through 15. Take it and read it yourself. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Nowhere in that does it say only if they ask for forgiveness of that debt. It is not found in the example Jesus gave. It's not there. Good luck finding it. It's not there, brothers and sisters. Now, at the end of this, let's go down to 14, Steve. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, which is a wrong, that's what transgression is, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What? For if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Let me ask you this. Does anybody in here need forgiveness? Well, I didn't see as many hands as I was expecting. Don't be bashful. Now ain't the time to be bashful. All right. Does anybody in here think they don't need it? Raise your hand. Now I really don't want you to. Don't be bashful now. Go ahead and hand them up in the air. No, no, no. Barrett, put it back down. No. You didn't understand the question. I know he didn't mean it. You want forgiveness. I know you do, Barrett. He's a good young man. I'll tell you what. Everybody wants forgiveness, but there's few that want to hand it out. Boy, don't you want to be forgiven when you say something to your spouse that you really didn't mean, but it rolled right off your tongue and it was just terrible taste what you said? Don't you want forgiveness for that? But yet, you don't want to forgive your spouse when they do that, right? Well, it was different. No, it's not. Same thing. Look at verse 15. This comes under the who don't think they need it. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Rut-row. What do we do with this, brothers and sisters, if we're going to tie it into Luke 17, where I don't have to forgive? What is a transgression? A wrong. Jesus is saying here, two wrongs don't make a right. You not forgiving because they didn't ask for forgiveness is a transgression. Now you're committing a transgression. You're committing a wrong. And you're welcome to do that, by the way. You cannot forgive. Verse 14. But verse 15 is telling you, here's the deal. If you don't want to forgive, guess what? You're not going to be forgiven. So, brothers and sisters, I think we need to err, and I don't mean err in the sense of a transgression. I think we ought to start erring on the side of caution here and saying, let's go err on the side of forgiveness rather than err on the side of not forgiving. Don't you reckon? And I think what Jesus is saying here in both instances is, why don't you just forgive and let God worry about it? Because really, he's the one that's going to judge it anyway. What's right and what is wrong. It ain't for us to judge one another. Seems like he was saying that here just a little bit ago. After all, if this ain't the right path, then it's okay for us to hate our enemies, right? Doesn't the Bible say we can hate our enemies? Matthew 5:43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I like the sound of that. Please let me hate my enemy. Please let me hate him. I want to hate him so bad. There's more. Verse 43. 44. Sorry. Let me turn over there. Sorry. I didn't give you that. It says, on the contrary, 44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and it goes on from there. If we're going to be called sons of his, sons and daughters of his, we're going to have to do the exact opposite of what the world offers us, which is loving ourselves and hating our enemies. See, it also goes back to you've heard it said, and this goes back even further in 5, about murder. See, it's not good enough not to pull the trigger now. Well, I know you didn't pull the trigger on him, but you sure wanted to. Or I know you didn't actually commit the adultery physically, but in your mind you did. Or the fact about paying back evil for evil. The idea of retaliation and revenge. See, things are different now under Christ Jesus, and forgiveness is most certainly going to look different now that Jesus Christ came to the world. See, it's not the same. We don't forgive as others forgive. It's going to be different. If we forgive only those who we deem deserve it, the world's going to be a pretty bleak place, pretty dark place. And we're not to be a pillar of darkness, are we? Now, how many of y'all think that the kingdom of God and is going to grow under that cloud of darkness? It's not going to happen. Because they can get revenge, retaliation, murder, hate, all of these things they can get from the world, including an unforgiving heart. Those things are readily available out in the world. You get them on every corner for $19.95 or less. It comes cheap out in the world, but it comes at a high cost, because if we don't forgive others, we're not going to be forgiven. So now we come to our thoughts of one another. So if we think that we are only to forgive if they've asked for it, what do we do with Ephesians 4:32? Be kind to one another. Turn your Bibles. Please turn your Bibles over to Ephesians. We need some highlighting going on. Underlining. Exclamation points. Whatever you can do in here to look at this, please do it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other when they ask for it. Again, that's not what it says. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ Jesus has also forgiven you. That's what it says. So if we want to hold to Luke 17, which, by the way, we don't want to, that's what's supposed to be the norm. You only forgive if they ask for it. What do you do with this? God forgave us through Christ Jesus before we asked for it. He offered his son as a sacrifice, yet while we were still sinners. God provided the forgiveness before we got right, before we have asked for it. That was provided long ago. And for people at the time who weren't right. What does it say right before that? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be an unforgiving soul, all those things in verse 31, you can underline that, please, are going to be the product of your life. That's going to be the fruits of your labor. All the things that Paul is saying you need to get rid of. Get rid of these things. They're no good. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then what does it say? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. Colossians 3 parallels this, but I would like us to turn over there, please. And we're going to back up to 12. You did it just perfect, Steve. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and here's that word, patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, what does that say? Whoever has a complaint against anyone, we need to forgive them. So if I have a complaint, let me see, who do I want to call out this morning? Brent Brown. Let's say I've got a complaint about him this morning. I've got to forgive him. Forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave me. I have no choice in the matter. This is so plain. It can't be any plainer in the Word of God. We are to be a forgiving people, not a grudge-holding people. And that's what this all amounts to. So Luke 17, if your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive him. If he doesn't come to you and ask for forgiveness, all the other scriptures bear out, you must forgive him. The idea is you must forgive. We must forgive, or we're going to look like everybody else. And that's not what God wants us to look like. God wants us to be different. So we're going to have to learn how to forgive. Forgive if we want forgiveness from God. That is what we are to be. Like I say, you're sure welcome to try it the other way. And not forgive. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to start getting better at this. I'm going to start letting it go. Whether I've been offended or not, whether I have an occasion to be upset by the world standards and hold a grudge, I'm not. By whereas I have the opportunity to go for the throat and the jugular, I'm going to forgive. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do, is forgive one another. So in this idea of one another, our fellowship can't be complete unless we forgive one another. And then it's going to be united, and it's going to be whole, and it's going to be really something special. This morning, if you're struggling with forgiveness, I've already confessed that I do. So I'm not going to come forward on this because I already have. I've admitted it to you. I struggle with it. And I want to ask for y'all's forgiveness that I struggle with this. But if anybody else needs help with prayer, we are here for each other. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Wonder. Thank you, dear Lord. For giving us forgiveness through your Son. Thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity when we have to see, when we get to see forgiveness and caring and loving situation right before our very eyes. You have been so generous with us, Lord, and we thank you for that. We hope that we show our thankfulness to you by reacting in the way that you want us to, by the way that your word tells us to. Thank you for giving us these holy words, which will prompt us to be more like Jesus. As we walk our daily walk, dear Father, hand in hand with our brother Jesus, may we never disappoint him. May we always be true to him. May we always rely on you. Thank you for this nice little lady coming forward to exhibit her love in you and her love for a fellow human. May we all follow that example as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Was in Psalm again, number 905. It's only one verse to this. We'll sing it, then we'll have our closing prayer and announcement to be dismissed. 905.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin.
Bow with me. Father in heaven, we're grateful that we can meet here this morning free from persecution, and we ask that our worship has been pleasing to you. Thank you for the way that you forgive us and help us to forgive as you do. Father, be with us as we leave this place and help us to carry your word into the world, to be a light those who see us. Watch over us and protect us. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.